Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12 in your Bible. Part of the Ten Commandments, right in the middle there, there's a verse, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. If I can find it there, there we are. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, that's an amazing commandment. And yet, I don't know if you notice, but the Bible is not there telling you that you need to love your father and your mother, even though you should. It actually says to honor them. That means you got to learn how to honor them, because we don't normally know how to. And there are a lot of people who struggle honoring their dad. You know the Bible tells us to love one another and to love our families. But before we ever can begin to love the people that God has put in our life, we need to respect them. We need to actually honor and prefer one another. Think of them before you think of yourself. And that's the Christian way. As a pastor, I deal with a lot of people who've never learned the smallest amount of respect towards other people. People are just rude. People are just simply rude. They're rude behind people's backs and to each other's face. Often I hear such rude statements by Christians about other Christians. They're fault-finding, they have a critical spirit, and I go, didn't their parents ever teach them anything? I hear constantly, and I have to catch my mouth as we get a bad attitude about the Irish government. We're quick to disrespect the Gardaí. We're quick to mock and be very disrespectful of rich people. Now, I don't like the fact they got more money than me, but they're human beings, and even our employers. I found that most people who are rude like that have never learned how to show honor. And it all begins in the home, folks. It all begins with this attitude that is quick to show disrespect. Now, I want to read a very brutally honest poem about disrespect. You came into this world with nothing, no voice, no strength, no name. And someone got up before the sun and went out just the same. He wasn't always eloquent. He wasn't always right. But he stood between you and the cold and worked into the night. And now you rolled your eyes at him and cut him off mid-word. You speak to him in tones you've never used to strangers. How absurd. You've sharpened up your wit on him. You've made him feel a fool. The man who taught you how to walk now gets your ridicule. What kind of person have you become that you save your worst for those who loved you when you were unlovable and wiped your runny nose? The world has taught you to be bold, to take up all the space, but boldness turns to ugliness when aimed at his tired face. He will not always be here. That chair will empty out. And every sharp word you threw at him will echo with your doubt. So before you bite, before you scoff, before you condescend, remember who he is to you and who you want to be in the end. Honor is not weakness. Respect is not a chain. The man who gave you everything deserves more than your disdain. I would ask that this morning you would allow me to help you fix your dad. And as you honor and learn how to honor him, God will fix you. Let's pray. Father, please help us this morning. As I always pray, God, please take over now and work in our hearts. Our families are crumbled. They're just barely hanging on. Marriages, relationships, it's not right. You gave us every weapon, every tool to thrive, to succeed, to turn this world upside down. May we humble ourselves and say, God, let me do the first works. Help me do what I need to be doing at my home so that I can do it anywhere and everywhere like Jesus did. God, you showed great respect toward a sinner like me. You poured out your grace upon such a wicked person like me. How can I do less toward anyone else, especially to my father and to our fathers? So help us understand grace and forgiveness and relationships and honor today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I don't have to tell you, but your dad was your gift, was God's gift to you. God made dads. I think some of you think the devil made your dad, but God made your dad. Never forget that fathers were specifically designed by God for one of the highest callings in the world, and that is of raising up the next generation for good. You are a gift to your parents, that's obvious, but your mom and your dad was God's amazing gift to you, and without them, you would always be worse off. I grew up from the age of 12 with a single mom, and I needed my dad. You know, when parents split up and stuff, and there are all kinds of reasons why they do, I'm just here to tell you, it went worse. It doesn't help. I know sometimes for their own sanity, but it hurts you when you lose your dad. Now, there are problems with fathers, and we're all too quick to know that. I need you. You can leave Exodus for a little while and go to Ecclesiastes, which is after Psalms and Proverbs. Then comes the book Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20. There's a deep problems with fathers being fathers. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20, and there are many good men that we think are good, but look what the Bible says about all mankind. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, if you find Ecclesiastes, good on you. It's after Psalms and Proverbs, then Song of Solomon, then Ecclesiastes. Verse 20. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. The New Testament verse is Romans 3:23. This says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What's the problem with fathers? They're sinners. They are failures. And most men who want to be good fathers, who want to be good men, fail at it. Maybe your father was constantly angry. Maybe he was a drunkard. Maybe he struggled with depression. Maybe he broke up with your mom. Maybe he battled drug abuse. Maybe he was a workaholic. Maybe he was never there for you. And fathers can end up hurting the very people they want to love and care for. The Bible says at our best day, on our best days, we are vain. We are self-centered. We are sinful. We are proud. We are arrogant. We are egotistical, sometimes cruel and hurtful. We are mean and almost totally blind to it all. Every man at some point in their lives, your dad included, has lied, stolen, disrespected, dishonored, lusted, coveted, blasphemed the name of God, disobeyed the clear will of God, held on to and served idols of their own making. That's dads. Honestly, we all are very guilty before God, and I'm focusing on dads here this morning. And it's amazing that we don't collapse in shame. But some of us men have had the priceless privilege of having somebody call us dada, papa, daddy. Even though we're failures far beyond what we're willing to admit, we've had the joy of being a dad, holding in our arms the awesome gift of a child and the responsibilities that go with a father. We welcome. There is just something that happens in the heart of every man that when they have this baby in their arms, they move to a whole nother realm. They become a father. Flawed and yet a father. What do you do with such a contradiction of things? Well, let me show you. God can do anything. Take your Bible now. Go to the last book in the Old Testament. It's Malachi. Malachi. If you get to Matthew, you've gone a little bit too far, just go back one page before Matthew and you hit the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5. The last two verses, a promise that God made. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. I'm going to send Elijah there. Verse 6, what's he going to do? He's going to turn the heart of the fathers back to the children. And he's going to turn the heart of the children to their fathers. Because if he doesn't, I'm coming and I will smite the earth with a curse. Now, God has the best way of fixing it. Feminists will not like what I'm about to say this morning. The devil will not like this message. Your own flesh will not like these instructions. But there's a way to fix your dad, even though he's impossibly flawed. And it's not by being angry against your dad, arguing with him constantly, fighting with him, criticizing, manipulating this man into getting what you want. It's actually to, hear the word, to honor him. That's how you fix him. You say, but he doesn't deserve honor. Yeah, but God didn't ask, honor your perfect father and your mother. Did it say that? Honor the Christian fathers and mothers. Is that what it says? No. You know what it says? Honor your father. What does that mean? The meaning of honoring means to make heavy. This is important. It means to treat as heavy, as treat honor as something that has weight to it, that is substantial. It means burdensome on the person giving it. The opposite of it is to dishonor. Let me show you. Sometimes you'll understand it by showing the opposite. To dishonor someone is to make light of them. Do you understand what I'm saying? To honor means to make them big, to make them weighty, that they have substance, they have value. To honor someone means to express their worth and their value to you. It's to direct the praise and the attention of everyone around you on your father for something instead of for yourself. Say you play the musical instrument. Say, it's kind of cute, Gina was sitting there saying, thanks for making me do my homework. You know, that's very interesting. Because what if somebody came up to Gina and says, you're so smart. Do you know how she can honor her dad? You can thank my dad for that. That honors dad, doesn't it? Wow. Say, here's somebody, and maybe you're good at math, and you don't even realize it, but your dad spent countless hours trying to explain to you where X was. Somebody did, I wish I had the picture, somebody did a thing, said, please find X, and they circled it right here. And then you're very good at, you get this job and you're good at math, and they just keep praising you, and you all of a sudden you wake up and you go, it's because of my dad that I understand math. That's giving honor to him. Does that make sense? Now, what's the purpose of honoring your dad? Go back to Deuteronomy now. Deuteronomy. We'll see a repeat of that command in Exodus, but this time with just a little bit slight twist, Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16 says this, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. Wait a minute. Do it because I command you, that thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Did you know that's the first commandment we're told in the New Testament? With promise. You know, all the other promises says, thou shalt have no other gods before me, thou shalt not make a graven image and bow down to it, thou shalt not take his name, Lord, in vain. Da-da-da-da-da. Then he says, honor your mother and your father, and you'll get a blessing for it. I'll benefit you for doing this. It's the first commandment with a blessing, but it's also the first commandment towards people. The first four commandments are all about my relationship with God, how I treat him, how I'm to be right with him. The last six commandments, starting with this commandment on honoring your parents, the last six are how I relate to other people. Did you know that until you learn how to respect people, everything else will fall apart? And if you don't learn how to respect your parents, you're cursed to be a curse to everyone around you. Honor and respect are the foundation of all relationships, and it begins at our home. It begins as early as possible. Every one of us needed to be taught to honor our parents, to be made to honor people in authority over us. Romans, go to the right. Find Romans chapter 13 and verse 7. Romans chapter 13 and verse 7. Right after the book of Acts comes the book of Romans chapter 13 and verse 7. Romans 13:7, render, give, Render therefore to all their dues. What is due them? Tribute, they're your taxes, to whom tribute is due. Custom, to whom custom. Fear, to whom fear. Honor, to whom honor. There you go. Every one of us should have been taught. Now, I don't find it too much here. Maybe it was about 50, 60 years ago. But when I was growing up, I was made to say, yes, sir. I was made to say, yes, ma'am. I was told, get the door for mom. I was told, let your sister go first. Oh, how I hated my sister. She was an only, you know, if there were two sisters, they could have fought each other. But instead, she had all the attention and she fought us. Anyway, we were made to understand that we were never to talk to mother the way that we tried to. We were told, get up and let somebody else sit there. We were made to say, please, and thank you, and may I. That's what we, now, did I follow the instructions perfectly? Not at all. I was pretty rebellious, just like anybody else. But you know, a long life is promised to you if you start to do that. I think I should have been dead a long time ago because I so disrespected my parents. I never grew up with a Christian concept or Christian ethos. And I'm here today because of preaching of the Bible. When I first got saved and men of God stood up and they preached and they told us what was right, and especially in relationship with our parents. And all of a sudden I started loving my mom beyond just the, I want to say, I don't want to use just the word pity love, but I started loving her, respecting her, what she had to put up with and what she had to endure. And then I forgave my dad and I started loving him and honoring him, even though he left my home. I want you to understand, I think I'm alive today simply because God finally got through this hard head. If you want to live long, Craig, you better start honoring your parents. Unfortunately, the only people that are honored in most homes are the spoiled, bratty children and teenagers who are given everything they want and are catered to at every whim. While dad is often made fun of and talked bad about and ignored, and I have probably only seen 3 Homer Simpson episodes in my entire life. But I thought about this as I was writing these things down. I think Homer Simpson is treated better in those shows that I saw than most men are today in their homes. Never forget that Jesus Christ honored the commandment of honoring your mother and your father. We'll look at that verse in a little bit. Now, the cost of honoring, you're giving it to people who don't deserve it, you say, because you know them. Jesus even said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own home, because they know you. They see you at your worst. And so here's his high calling of being a prophet, a preacher. This person, like Moses or anybody, they're the rest of the world looks at them in awe, but at home, they're like, get it yourself. There's no honor almost for people in their home. And Jesus warned about that. Honor never comes from feelings. It never should. It is not something we do naturally. And it doesn't come from admiration. Sometimes we show the picture of a super dad, you know, with the cape. And we think, oh, if my dad was this superhero, then I would honor him. That's not what we do. When we were kids, we thought our dads were superheroes. But it's not something you do because of how great your dad is or how good he is or how kind he is or how successful it is. Honor comes by obligation. It is what is due him simply because he is your dad. Now, I know that ultimately, honor ought to be earned. And most men, if you ever are hugged and told that you are loved by your kids and they think you're the best, you know what we men do? You're talking about somebody, not me. I don't deserve that honor. That's how we are. But what they're doing is right. Can you understand what I'm saying? But God makes it the responsibility of the person who has a father to honor their father, even if their father has lost your trust, even if he has failed deeply in being a good father. Who's told to give honor all of us? boys, girls, teenagers, men and women, grandparents and great-grandparents. I never heard my grandfather ever speak of his father and his grandfather like we talk about our parents. My great-grandmother, I would sit, after I got saved, I fell in love with my family history and with people that were close to death. I would spend hours listening to the stories, and the stories they told of growing up and their parents and their grandparents were honorable. Not that they were perfect and not that they didn't have their flaws, but they honored them. Do you understand what I'm saying? We are all supposed to give honor upward, not downward. Your kid may be screaming for attention. The best parent will say, "You're not getting it unless you stop screaming." You do not demand my attention. My honor goes toward the people. They're above me, not below. They already have all of your attention. Don't let them be spoiled. All of us have had the privilege of having a dad. And if they're still alive, we still need to honor them. And if they're passed on, we need to honor their memory. You've got to guard your way of thinking about your dad, and you need to hold him in an honorable way in your memory, or else it will curse you. Did you hear me? Honoring is an entire way of living, and it begins at home. You know, there are cultures. I am amazed that there are still cultures in this modern world with all the social media and everything. There's still cultures that honor the older people. But those cultures are dwindling. They are being crushed by the modern technology that is just making everybody individuals instead of families. Now, how do you honor your dad? Let me get real practical here. And I preached this probably last couple of years. I just give you some thoughts because we don't think about how to honor. You know what you'll do? You go to your dad and you says, "Happy Father's Day." And then you don't make it happy. You don't honor him. So let me give you some ideas. Number one, listen to him. I always start with this. Let him give you advice. My youngest daughter phoned me yesterday. She was talking about all the plans she's having for this first baby of hers and everything that's coming and stuff. And she started asking me advice, and I just sat down. I love this. I have none to give her. But she was asking my advice. That honors me. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you want to hear what your dad thinks, when you seek his wisdom, don't wait for him to offer it. Ask him for it. Let him lead you. Don't be so arrogant. And I'm talking to every one of you men especially. Do not be so arrogant that you think you don't need your dad. Oh, hi, I know what I'm going to do with my life. I know how to take care of myself. I know how to pay the bills. I know. You are stupid on every level. Even if you do have a lot of answers, there's nothing wrong with going to your dad and just sitting down and letting him give you his opinion. It honors him. Proverbs, go to the middle of your Bible, Psalms, the next book after that, Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. Now, here's Solomon speaking to his son who's not a child. His son Rehoboam, Solomon, is writing. He's in his 40s, somewhere around in here. And he's writing to his son, and he says, "My son, keep listening to me. Hear the instruction of thy father." Understand, he's talking to Rehoboam, who's probably married at this time. And I don't care how old your dad gets and how old you get, you're still his son. And Solomon says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law." The careful instructions that are like commandments of your mother. Go to chapter 23. Don't move on from them. Don't think that you don't need their help and their guidance. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 22. Proverbs 23 and verse 22. "Hearken, pay careful attention unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." Don't ever look at her and go, "Oh, she's got no part in my life. She has no way to give me an opinion. All she does is talk about what I'm doing wrong and how I'm not listening to God and how I'm not walking with God." You need to sit down and let her tell you what she thinks. The same goes with your dad. You know what I found? Most dads are older than their children. I think that's verifiable. Would you agree? They've been around the block a couple of more times. And that's why in Colossians 3:20, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, I know when you think of a child, you think of a six-year-old. But in the Bible, a child was anybody up to 20. If you were 20, you usually were still at home. You still were under your parents. And you were treated not as a child like a baby, but you were still supposed to obey. No matter how old you are, ask your dad for advice. And if he's right, take it. That honors him. And I believe you'll live a lot longer. Go to, still in chapter 23, look in verse 23. We read verse 22, Proverbs 23, 22. I'll read it again. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee. Despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth. That means do whatever you have to get what they've got. I don't care if you have to fly to get to their house and sit with them for a week. But if you've got a major problem and you're not getting answers to prayer and you're struggling in your relationships, in your marriage, with your kids, with your sanity, pay whatever you have to get some help from your parents. Buy the truth, sell it not, get wisdom and instruction and understanding. Guess what happens, verse 24? And the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. And he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Oh, thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. If you want help, if you want their help. Secondly, spend time with him. You know, the older a dad gets, boy, the more he wishes he could spend time with his kids. And I think all of us men daddies, we're all Irish mammies at heart. We just want our kids nearby. It's just, we miss our kids. Make time for your dad. Look back there in verse 22. We read it there. Hearken unto thy father. Despise not thy mother when she is old. The statement is, don't ever get to the place where you don't have that relationship, where you just sit down and you talk and you listen and you let them speak. You know, your children need to see you honoring your father and your mother if you want to exemplify, if you want to be an illustration of how they're to do it to you. So when you go see your parents, when you go see your grandparents, you know what you should do? Take their phones. Amen. You go into your grandparents' home, take their phones, make them talk, make them spend time, make them just go out in the yard and play. Don't let them sit on their phone. Don't let them miss the moments they need to share with their parents and their grandparents. Sit and talk and let him talk. You know what I found? I'm not a great counselor. I try to help people, but you know what most of my effort when I'm talking to people is spent doing? Listening, encouraging people to talk, letting them get it out. After they get out some things, I try to lead them to God. Sometimes your dad just needs to get some things out. Let him talk. Maybe he's grumbly. Maybe he's grouchy. Maybe he's that bear you always knew. Well, honor him and let him be that. Your dad probably needs you just to give him some time. Just do what he enjoys doing. Maybe going for a walk. When I was a kid, my dad would mow the grass, and I begged him, can I mow with you? He said, no, you're too young. I must have been 6 or 7 years old. So he went and he bought me a plastic lawnmower that made bubbles. He filled it up with that bubble mixture. And then as my dad is mowing over here, I'm over here. I wanted to be with him. I want to be doing what he wanted to be doing. Now, I know we're in the day and age where almost nobody changes their own oil in their car anymore. Can you imagine the priceless gift of your dad's changing the oil and you come along and you just sit there and get your hands dirty and spend time changing the oil with him? It is the gift that you can give that honors him. That doesn't say, Dad, why don't you go to the movies with us? Maybe you don't want to go. Why don't you find out, Dad, what are you doing today? I want to do it with you. Did I just die and go to heaven? Phone him if you can't be with him. Talk to him. Let him talk to you. Most dads don't talk, all right? Most dads don't. But sit there and let him know he can. Why? Why are you making this all on me? Because God said so. He didn't say, dads, be worthy of their honor. That's the rest of the Bible. But at one point he says, sons, daughters, honor them no matter what. That's where we're at this morning. Third, praise him. You're in Proverbs, go to chapter 27, Proverbs chapter 27. If there's anything I hope you learn about the book of Proverbs, it's a family book. It's a book on relationships. It's a book on how to be practical in your life. And here in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 21, as the fining pot for silver. Now, fining pot is this metal case that takes high temperature. You put chunks of rock that have silver in it. You put that in there and then you slide it into a burning furnace. He says, as the fining pot, something that makes silver finer and more pure, as the fining pot is for silver and the furnace is for gold and what it does for gold, so is a man to his what? You know how to make a man a better man? Praise him. Now, don't lie about him, but praise him. Find something that you can say that says, Dad, I sit and I am in awe that you do that faithfully. You never complain. You're amazing. You know, he doesn't need to, by the way, no dad needs to hear constant praise, okay? He'll know you're wanting money. But there's nothing wrong with just going and just saying, like we heard a couple of these, this is why my dad is great. Sometimes you just need to write him a note and just say, I sit in awe of you. Praise him. The Bible says, rise up and give them honor and respect. Brag on him. Point him out as your, that's my dad. You ever heard of the phrase? Go to Leviticus. You go back over to the left. Third book in the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19 and verse 32. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. That means the white-haired guy. When he starts to get those gray hairs, thou shalt rise up like a standing ovation. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of, oh, there we go. Well, how do people talk about their dad? Oh, the old man. Well, you're supposed to honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. Why? Because I am the Lord. All of his life, most dads have made their children and their families more important than themselves. Make sure you let your father know that to you, now that you've grown up, he's more important than you are. Wouldn't it be amazing if Christian people preferred other people over themselves? If they preferred Sunday with Christians instead of the world at the beach? Ooh. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we preferred sacrificing what we want so that we can be a blessing to people who maybe have struggled just to breathe during the week, but we've got to be there because we prefer them. That's called honor. And we should definitely do that with our families. Fourthly, be thankful for them, especially for your dad. Now, I know you appreciate your mom. It wouldn't take you any problem if I said, what are you thankful about your mom? You'd come up with 100 things. But your dad needs appreciation. Just repeat it over and over. Thank you, Dad, for being my dad. Thank you for all you've done for me. I believe most dads rarely have anyone who ever thanks him for anything he does. If he's still married to your mom, thank him for showing you strong love. If he worked without complaining all his life, thank him for showing you sacrificial love. If he ever showed you how to do things with your hands and taught you self-confidence and gave you his time, thank him for showing you practical love. If he ever tickled you and told you awful dad jokes and made you go to bed too early, thank him for showing you fun love. And if he never got any of that quite right, at least thank him for being your dad. Just start thanking him. Bless him. Make his day. Make him happy. Don't just say Happy Father's Day. Make it a happy day for your father. Can I say, don't forget to thank God for him. Remember, God gave him to you. I know many of you have said, I wish you'd take him back. But you are alive because of your dad. So in your prayer time, tell God that you realize the gift of God that your dad is, and you have not appreciated him. And that God uses your dad, as flawed as he is, to fashion you. Now, all the mistakes that my dad did, I can learn from and not repeat them. Amen? So I can be grateful for my dad. Maybe your dad has passed away, so take some time, and especially on Father's Day, remember those good times. My dad died in 2018, and I wish I could spend more time with him. And if you ask me about my dad, most of the time, I'm going to say something good about him. Now, I can tell you he left my mom when I was 12, but I don't have bitterness in my voice when I say that. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I learned to forgive him, and I learned that he's my dad, and I can never, ever stop honoring my dad. Matthew 15, if you'll take that now, go to Matthew chapter 15, care for him. Matthew 15 and verse 5. Matthew 15 and verse 5. Matthew 15, verse 5, but look back there in verse 3. But he answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Why do you overrule God's commandment by your little traditions? Verse 4, for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. That's how serious Jesus took honoring your parents. Verse 5, but ye say, oh, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mayest be profited by me. Now, that's kind of a complicated phrase. It just means that some money that maybe their parents gave to them, passed on to them, instead of them using that inheritance money while they were still alive to take care of them, they would invest it in a church type thing, into the temple or into a religious thing, and say, oh, God will bless you because I've given it here, knowing that when they die, they get it back. Jesus was furious at that. He says, verse 6, and if you honor not your father or his mother, you think he shall be free? Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Oh, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people, yeah, they draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. If you don't learn that you need to take care of your parents, that means take care of their needs. That means do not leave them to the state. Sometimes you have to have help, and you have to have the nursing care, and you have to have these things help and intervene because it's too big for you. But the general idea is get rid of mom, get rid of dad. I'll go visit them. You better make sure you're taking care of them because that's what it means to honor them all the days of their life, folks. Another one, forgive them. Do not ever let grudges with anybody rule your heart. Don't ever have a grudge toward, especially your family. Your father probably didn't know how to be a good dad. Probably he had a rotten father too. So let God judge him, or maybe the guard if they need to. But do not keep a bitter spirit against him. The hardest people to forgive are those closest to you. Jesus knew this. The very moment that Judas came up to him and kissed him on the cheek. Remember that? And Jesus called him friend. Jesus describes, it's described in Psalm 41, just for time. Psalm 41, 9 says, yea, it was my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, and he hath lifted up his heel against me. Think of how painful it is that when somebody so close to you hurts you, and probably your dad hurt you, failed you, forgive him. Doesn't mean have trust in him from that moment on, but it means you cannot live in judgment of them. You can never have bitterness toward them. And that you're seeking reconciliation. You forgive because you want the relationship that God gave, not what the devil is destroying. So, mark these words. There can be no one that you have not forgiven for anything they have done against you, especially your father. You cannot not forgive. It may take you a little while, but you need to be able to go into their presence, be able to hug them and honor them as your dad. Maybe someone you can't trust, maybe someone that got some deep issues, some problems, whatever. I understand that, but Find a way to honor them. That's what the Christian does. And maybe start praying for them. You know, if your father's alive, I have to ask you, is your dad on your prayer list? 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. That's a lot of people. For kings, we don't like that one. For all that are in authority, especially don't like that one, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. So you need to pray for your dad. You need to pray for his stability and his sanity, because too many men are committing suicide. You may even need to fast for him, because you don't know what he is carrying. You don't know what heartaches or failures weigh heavy on his heart every day. And maybe they don't even know. They're not aware of what they've got going on inside their head. Pray for your dad. Now, why does it matter? Because there's a high cost of not doing it. We're given the promise, he says, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And so if my life is going to be long, if I honor my dad, well, what's my life going to be if I don't? There's the rub. There's the problem. Proverbs 30, verse 17 says, the eye that mocketh his father, and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. Now, it's describing the fact in those days, you got to understand, most young men usually had to go to war. Are you with me? You usually had sons and daughters, and they worked in the farm, but there was always war going on. And the warning was, if you want your kid to come back home and not be dead in some field with some a raven plucking out his eyes because he's dead on that field, you better teach him to honor, respect. God will bring him home. Now, not always, but that's the thing there. And when we train our kids to be so disrespectful and they don't honor, and wives, you have a responsibility to teach your kids to honor dad as much as he's got a responsibility to teach your kids to honor you. And if you don't, I'm telling you, what kind of disaster is down the road that your kids will pay for? It's a high cost of not honoring. And it's the foundation of all relationships. Let me just race through. It benefits the person who's giving honor. You know, God actually promises you a long life. You benefit from humbling yourself and honoring your father like God said to. And I believe with all my heart, if you do not honor your mother and your father, you will have a short life and a miserable one. It overcomes bitterness and satanic oppression in you. Go to James, to the right. Find James chapter 4 and verse 7. Right after the book of Hebrews, James chapter 4 and verse 7. You know, when you just humble yourself and you do what God says, it will always, always, always empower you to resist the devil. Look at James chapter 4 and verse 7. James 4, 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Submit means obey. It means do what God says. Then you can resist the devil and he will flee from you. So if there's bitterness in your heart, that's a home for the devil. And anyway, the only way to overcome that bitterness is to force yourself. And I use that word very carefully, but you got to understand, you got to make yourself submit to God's way of handling the hurt. And the way you handle that hurt is you bless them and you honor them. And that doesn't mean that you make them feel like a king when they've done such wrong, but there's got to be some way for you to honor them and show affection toward them and to care about them and to pray for them. I'm telling you, if you do that, the devil has no place in you. So the only way to get free from demonic, satanic oppression in your thought life and in your heart that has come because you're bitter and angry because of hurts and the trauma of life, the only way to get free of that is to turn around and start to bless the people that hurt you. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ turned the whole world upside down. He's doing everything backwards, didn't he? He does everything opposite of what we want to do. And it keeps God first in our life. You know, when you decide to honor your dad, and listen, I'm preaching to the choir. Most of you probably want to honor your parents. Most of you are honoring your parents. But I'm telling you, there are going to be times where you're not going to, and you're not going to want to. And you got to remember this. If you just do what God says, it keeps God first, not you first. No excuses. Now, what if your father failed you? Very quickly. Find me a father who hasn't failed deeply their family to some degree. You know what the world says? You do not have to honor someone who hurts you. But that is a lie. You better start to stay with the Bible and not go with the world's philosophies, because the social media, all those stupid things you're watching for hours every day, is full of wrong philosophy and will damn your family. Now, honor never pretends that abuse or failure by your dad didn't happen. It just makes sure your dad knows he is your dad. It never minimizes the past. Doesn't let the past determine what you do, however. A Christian does what God says to do, not what his heart says. You're not minimizing the past. You're just doing what God says do, because you're looking for a miracle. Honor, by the way, is not an agreement or an approval of your father's actions. I felt like that if I ever, when my dad split from my mom, I don't know why God allowed such trauma in my life when I was 11 and 12 years old. I'm just telling you, I can preach to you today and I can tell you there's victory, because there is something that God taught me when my dad had us. I and my younger brother, my younger sister, we would go with my dad every other weekend. We would spend two or three days with him, whatever it was. And I'm telling you, the entire time I was there, I was like, I don't want to be here. I hate this man. I feel like if I ever showed honor to him, I'd be dishonoring my mom. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's how I felt. Because every night after that separation, into that divorce, I could hear my mom weeping. I said, I will not let him have any satisfaction. And it took Jesus Christ humbling me and showing me I'm not the judge. And I'm not letting him get away with it. I'm not agreeing with what my dad did when I'm showing him honor. Do you understand what I'm saying? David was living in a cave, running from cave to cave for 7 years. King Saul had sent armies after him, and there he is in that cave, and he had a chance. He had two chances to actually kill King Saul. He had the chance to be free from this enemy, and each time his heart smote him, and he said, I will not judge this man. And he stood up there and he said, King Saul, my king, I had you in my arms. I had you in my range. I could have killed you, but I refused to do that. You're my king. You're the Lord's anointed. You know, it changed King Saul. Saul saw that and he says, you're a better man than me. He took his arm and he walked away. I'm going to tell you, you want to change your dad? Whew, hold back from constantly attacking him and judging him. Honor him and step back and let God deal with him. Correction can be done correctly when it comes to your dad. You know, Jethro, which was Moses' father-in-law, saw Moses being worn out. And Moses is sitting on a rock somewhere or in a chair. And for 12 hours, people would come to him and ask questions. What do I do about this? How do I pay this bill? How do I make this right with so-and-so? And he was wearing himself out. Jethro said, you got to stop this. What you're doing, I'll quote it for you. The thing that thou doest is not good. He actually is correcting Moses. And then Jethro's very careful and he says, let me give you a suggestion. And Jethro says, if the Lord shows you that I'm right, then you should do it. I'm going to leave you with that. And Moses prayed about it and the Lord said, do it. And he set up the 70 other helpers, elders who helped like a series of judges and judicial system. And Jethro corrected him respectfully. You can do it correctly. All I'm asking you to do is to examine your own heart. You know, often when we've been hurt by our parents, we usually make the situation worse. We need to ask God to make us the opposite of how we feel. Because the Bible says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, of shut it off. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Be careful that your dad has not made you bitter, because guess what? He didn't. You chose to be bitter. Ouch. Examine your own heart. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, Romans 12 says, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So stay away from the extremes of blindly just ignoring that anything ever happened and that your dad's the best. No, there's some real situation you may have to deal with here. And don't be the opposite where you just cut them off completely. You know, we're smart people. We can figure a way to honor right. Because honor can change your father. That's the goal of this message. Dear God, please fix my dad. Don't let me use criticism and rudeness. There are too many wives who think that by nagging and being rude and disrespectful and not honoring the husband, that their husband will finally change. It doesn't work. You've got to change and go, you know what? If I want to change a stubborn, hard man, I got to do what God says do. Not because it makes sense, even though it does, because it's right, and watch God change the hard heart. Lastly, make honoring your father a discipline, a regular habit. Even if your father has passed away, you still have a memory of him. Make sure that memory is not twisted and dark and full of bitterness. Honor him. It's a right way of, when you, respect is a right way of thinking and acting towards someone, no matter what they've done. And I had to learn this. Do not await for you to feel it before you do it. Practice honoring until you do feel it is kind of a practical way to do it. And if your feeling never comes, do it anyway, because you're doing it because of the Lord, not because they're worthy. Forgiveness is a decision, not a feeling. And it must be repeated how many times? 70 times 7, doesn't it? And so must respect be shown over and over and over again. You know why? Because I want the devil defeated. Somehow, some way, your dad brought the devil into the home. Maybe somebody, another family member brought the devil into the home. The only way to get him out is to start to approach people with deep respect and give them grace. Isn't grace amazing? Aren't you glad God didn't, when you sinned the last time this past week or 2 weeks ago or yesterday, aren't you glad lightning didn't come down and make you dust? Aren't you glad for grace? Show it. Your dad is not required to be a superhero before you honor him as a superhero, maybe. The person who gives honor, where they just listen, where they speak building and respectful words, where they actually provide for the needs of their father, where they care about their father's feelings and needs, where they stand in their presence, and all children need to be taught all that, they will discover, I'm better off, I'm blessed, not carrying all of that bitterness. You know, the work of grace changed and saved you, didn't it? And it might just save your dad. So it's Father's Day. All over the world, isn't that cool? All over the world, people are being told, honor your dad. That's cool. I like that. I think all of us need to ask God to change me so that I can. I wish my dad had gotten saved. I wish my dad had never left my mom. But those are not the reasons. I mean, if my dad had gotten saved, man, I tell you what, I don't know what I'd be. You'd have a nutcase of a preacher. It's the greatest prayer burden on my heart every day, praying for my dad to get saved. Some of you know what that feels like. But I don't honor him because he did get saved. And I don't dishonor him because he didn't get saved. Are you with me? I don't honor him because of this or not because of that. He's my dad. And it took the Lord humbling me to change my view of my dad. Make it a way of life. By the way, dads, you better realize just how priceless grace is when it's showed towards you when you don't deserve it. The best gift you ever got was God Almighty coming to this world and letting wicked, evil men kill him. And he prayed these words. You ready? Father, forgive those wicked, evil men. They don't know what they're doing. You've been given grace. You're alive today. You're here today. If you're not saved, God is looking for you. God wants you to humble yourself and say, God, I'm not that good. I'm really no good. And if you'll take me, I trust you. Stand with me. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray for the dads in this room that they would realize they are unworthy of any honor. At our best, we are vanity. We are worthless. We are a mess. And yet, you show us so much attention. You give us so much respect, God. You reason with us. You challenge us to consider these things. I pray some people have. But then you gave many of us men the privilege of being a daddy. And we have our kids and our grandkids come up and they hug us and they tell us they love us and they give us such honor and we are not worthy. May we decide we're going to live up to that honor. We're going to try to be more like Jesus ourselves and we're going to get our own hearts right. We're going to start to honor our parents. May we point that attention upward because you are all worthy. Make this Father's Day a special day for every dad in this room. But I'm praying for the people who are giving the honor that you make it special for them too, that they realize there's such a joy in being a blessing to our dad. If there's anybody who's not saved today, help them to have the courage to come talk to me. Help them to know that this is the day that they need to get saved, that grace has been shown to them, that they've been given another chance. May they not miss it because they may not have tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn number 388.